welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of slvoices.com, the voice of the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Early on a Saturday morning, Adam and I had an opportunity to sit down with a couple of men at our local fire department to talk about a wide variety of topics. Of course, the main reason for this podcast is to promote the 28th annual Chili Supper on November 17th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. But Dean and Damon took the time to go much deeper than that. They took us on a tour and showed us the equipment they're very proud of, and for good reason. Numerous shelves of trophies, their brand new lockers, and awards. And we learned more about the fire department in general. I think you'll be fascinated with what you're about to hear.
I'm Adam, and we are here at the Monta Vista Fire Department. We're talking with Dean Hawkes and Damon Arellano about the 28th Annual Chili Supper. Hi, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing today?
Fantastic.
Well, listen, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to sit down and talk with us. And boy, there's an awful lot to talk about. Let's start with that Chili Supper.
Exactly, man. We're excited to get this thing kicked off. This is our 28th annual event. That we'll be hosting coming up on Saturday the 17th. Gets underway at 4 o'clock here at the fire station. We want to invite the community to come out and join us for a fabulous night of chili and camaraderie and friendship. It's our way of saying thank you to our community for your support. At the same time, we have the boot out there, which allows people to make a donation if they want to make a donation as well. And Dean can elaborate more on the chili itself and the flavor and what we put together for everybody when they show up.
So yes, we have two different types of chili. We got the red chili, which is beef. You got the green chili, which is pork with green chili in it. It's personally my favorite, and it's the one I serve. The flavors are just outstanding. It's an old recipe we've had for years, and each guy loves, enjoys making it.
There's a lot of other stuff that we have out there as well. We're not just the chili. I mean, we have some beans. We've got potatoes available as well. We have cornbread, tortillas, dessert. Now, last year, the Mennonite ladies donated a couple cakes to us. I don't know whether or not they'll do that this year. I hope they do. If not, then that's where our spouses come into play, and they might make the dessert for us. So it's a big team effort. It's just not our team, but it's our family getting involved. It's our kids. It's our wives. It's everybody really coming together as a way to give back to the community.
And you mentioned a boot out there. I mean, you guys actually have some goals and objectives with this too, don't you?
Yes, we'd like to try to raise money for some extrication tools, battery-powered extrication tools.
Okay, can you tell us about that?
So for the people that don't really know what they are like the jaws of life. It helps cut open a car, expand out a car, or even lift up a forklift if we need to. They are made more for easy travel. Our old ones have hydraulic hoses, which sometimes get tangled up with each other. And now these battery-powered ones we could take wherever, up a hill, 50 yards into a field, wherever we need to take them.
Okay.
I would like to take just a minute and go back to this chili recipe that you said has been
that's We're not
old.
Sharing it.
You're not going to share
we
it.
We cannot share the chili recipe. This is interesting because there's only a select few that actually have the recipe. I'm not privy to it right now. I don't think Dean is either.
No.
We might help mix the concoction, but there's a couple senior people out there that have the secret recipe, and then when they determine who it could be handed down to, that person will get it. It's pretty cool.
So how old is this recipe? Can I ask that?
Easily 28 years old.
Yeah, yeah. At least 28.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'm going to come and have some and try to figure out what's in there.
You know what? Everybody loves it. What happens at night when the people in the community come? We say we get underway at 4 o'clock. We really do get underway at 4 o'clock, but I can guarantee the line's going to probably start forming around 3:30 or something like that. And sometimes it gets so long, it might be down a block or something like that, you know? It's neat for the community. It's a chance for the community to come together. We clear out our fire station. The bays are open. We put all the tables and chairs out. Us as a team, we work together as one to really bring this dinner together. And it's just an awesome time. It's awesome for us, but we have such a great feeling when the community comes in and they're thanking us for everything we do. We appreciate that. But just to see their smiles on their face and everybody looks forward to the chili supper. This is huge. This is really a big event for our area and for our department. And It's an awesome opportunity to sit down and visit with the community and be able to talk to them and see their smiling faces. I mean, you might get here at 4 o'clock and you might stay until 7 because your friends are coming in. You're visiting with everybody. It's just a great opportunity to come and hang out. It's great for the kids. They have a chance to look at some of our rigs, have a chance to look at some of our bunker gear. We'll talk to everybody about some of the things that we do and how some of our tools have been put to use.
Let's talk about the fire trucks that the children, of course, are drawn to. What would you ask parents to kind of watch for with their children around the rigs? They don't need to be crawling on them. They don't need to be jumping in and out of them. But will you be able to allow them to experience the fire truck in a way that would interest the children?
We'll keep a couple engines outside the door with lights, so this way people see them easier. And then, of course, if the kids want to jump on them, maybe ask one of us. We could escort them, show them how it's done, maybe put on some lights for them.
Put them up in the cab, let them sit in the seat.
Yeah, kids love seeing that.
It's an awesome experience for them to develop that, and who knows? They might be our next firefighters down the road.
Last year, what did you do with all the funds that you'd raised?
So last year, we were expecting to get new lockers for us because our old lockers were 30 years old. And our new lockers are about twice the size. They are really convenient. So our lockers are green, which match our trucks. We really enjoy the color. It's different. Most fire trucks are red, but we prefer the green.
I like the storage that we have in our lockers. I mean, now we have a bench, and underneath the bench is storage. Before, it was just a standing compartment. It was very tough to get in, very small, kind of cumbersome to maneuver around. Didn't really hold all of our gear. So we needed something. We needed a way to upgrade. Plus, we wanted to expand the lockers around. We run a 21 team member is what we have. We have 21 members on our team. And what we're trying to do is just make sure that everybody has a locker for themselves.
If someone can't make it to the chili supper, what can they do? Can they certainly still help?
Oh, you bet. You know, and that continues on for several months down the road after the chili supper. Most people received a letter in the mail letting them know that the chili supper is getting ready to come underway. And inside there was an additional little envelope. Inside that envelope, you can make your contribution there if you want and just send it in to us. We certainly appreciate anything that anybody can give.
What kind of goals do you guys have for this year coming?
So for this year, we're planning to get extrication tools battery powered. They are very convenient. We've had a chance to play with them before. So easy to use. A little heavy, but that's what we also train for.
Tell us a little bit about what you were involved in last year. And we all know that last year was a high fire activity year for this area.
Yes, so last year, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get a whole lot of moisture. It really dried up all the vegetation, everything out there. So it was a high risk for fire. And unfortunately, you know, La Vida Pass caught a big fire, which is the spring fire. It took a lot of departments to control it from the valley, and then the state brought in their crew and manned it 24/7. We sent up a crew with one of our new brush trucks, which we really enjoy having. It's a beast on the road. It's a beast in the field. They did structure protection. They did an awesome job up there. Very proud of those guys.
Yeah, I believe we sent actually about 4 guys up there to help out. And it's just real interesting how everything works out. The community always comes together to assist each other. We do have a mutual aid agreement with all the other departments around the San Luis Valley. And what that means is we're all willing to work together for a common goal and a common cause, and that's to help better protect our community. Some departments may not have a ladder truck. We've got a ladder. Maybe they'll call us for that. Once again, we've got a couple brush trucks. They may not have brush trucks. For those who don't know what a brush truck is, I mean, it's a small apparatus that's used for wildland fires primarily. That's what it's really designed for. Our newest one is just an amazing apparatus that will be on display during our chili supper, and we're always glad to show off some of our rigs.
You guys do an awful lot of education as well, outside of just obviously fighting fires.
Yes, we like to go to businesses that request assistance with some fire training, extinguisher training. We do enjoy that. We do have a little setup where it's a controlled fire. We show them how to use a fire extinguisher. So we have a rule called pass, pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep.
What encompasses that is also evacuation. What are you going to do during a fire? You've never been put in this type of situation. And with this self-contained controlled fire, it makes it really awesome for people to be able to experience how to use a fire extinguisher. There's a proper procedure that needs to be implemented that everybody needs to be aware of. I mean, if you take a small woman and you put a 30-pound fire extinguisher in her hand, is she even going to be able to handle that? Does she know how to handle that? Is she going to be able to pull the pin? What if it's a smaller guy? I mean, what if he can't even pull the pin out? What if they don't know how to use it? Nobody's really been trained on how to use a fire extinguisher. You see it hanging on the wall and you go, ah, it's there. Hope I never have to use it. What happens if you're ever put in that situation? Now, it started out that we were just primarily providing the education here in Monte Vista, but the program has just exploded. I mean, this is a fabulous program, and what we're primarily doing is going out to other businesses, school districts, Head Starts, community centers. We're trying to help everybody out so they have a clear understanding on what to do in case of an emergency. So this is a fabulous program. If anybody's ever interested in finding out more about that, give us a call here at the fire station. We'll be glad to schedule a time where we can come out and assist you. Once again, it's awesome for people to take advantage of this. And we've run 50, maybe even 100 people through the training at one time.
So how would a business, school, Head Start ask you to come? Do they just call the fire department? How do they submit a request?
So yes, they could just get a hold of any one of us members. Everyone knows a firefighter here in the town. Just get a hold of us. We could schedule something in. And of course, it's free, no cost at all for you.
Any safety tips that you guys would like to offer?
So now that it's getting cold, we hope you already cleaned out your chimneys. That's pretty important. You don't want to see us over there for a chimney call. Mostly people change out their smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, change out the batteries, make sure those are new, ready to go.
I'd like to mention, always be prepared when you're in your vehicle to have the right tools and equipment in there. It's never too difficult to keep, you know, some kitty litter inside of your vehicle, an extra shovel, some blankets, extra food as well, just in case you do slide off of the road. Always keep your phone charged. Don't ever talk on your phone when you're driving or texting when you're driving as well. Those are a few other things. Make sure your tires are up to date and taken care of as well, too. You never know what type of emergency that you're going to run into.
One more thing I want to bring up. Now with the snow coming, it's getting cold, it's getting icy, take your time driving. You could go as fast as you want till you have to stop. Once you want to stop, you're sliding everywhere.
Also, with Christmas just around the corner, we want for everybody to be aware of not to overload their outlets as well. Fire can double in size in no time, so you want to be conscious about how many things you have plugged into one outlet to prevent any type of fire from happening.
So tell us about the training that you go through to become a firefighter.
Well, when you become a member of our team, you basically go through what's almost like a Firefighter 1 training course. We've got a program that we're going to introduce you to so that you have a good foundation and a good base to understand the fire scene and fire service as well. And I want to say it's like a 6-month, 8-month program as a probation guy that you go through or person that you go through this program in order to qualify. Outside of that, us as a team, wow, I can't imagine how, I don't know, the state probably requires about 36 hours a year of in-house training. I think in all, we're probably, what, somewhere around 1,500? I mean, we put in a massive amount of training. Every month, we're training on something. Might be inspections. Maybe we go to a building, one of the businesses or a school district, and we're inspecting their building so that we have a better understanding the layout of the facility and how we're going to access it or what are some of the hazards that we might even encounter. We do search and rescue for ourselves, and this is for searching a building. How are we going to go in and rescue a person if we know of somebody that's down? What's the procedure? What's the policy? How are we going to go about that? We work on wearing our SCBA, and that's our PACS, which adds probably about another, you know, 45, 50 pounds to the rest of the gear that we're already wearing. How are we going to use that? Are the guys going to be comfortable in that? What if you're a claustrophobic person? We want you to be comfortable being able to be in the bunker gear and making these type of attacks or making an entrance or whatever it might be that we have to do. A matter of fact, Dean has gone off earlier this year and attended two different academies to help better advance his training.
Tell us a little bit about that, Dean, please.
So the first training I went to was hosted in Del Norte, which some great guys over there, they know what they're doing over there. We had a guy come from Florida and a few guys from Denver come down. Again, over there, we worked on pump training, hose layout, bunch of different stuff. I really enjoy going over there every year. And then another one I went to was Ignacio for the Fire Academy. So we worked on extrication, which would be cutting open cars all day. That's all we did. We worked on smoke reading. A smoke would tell you a lot about a fire. It tells you where it's at, how big it is, how fast it is, everything. You just gotta read the smoke.
Speaking about smoke, sometimes you can detect the type of chemical. Not necessarily the chemical, but, you know, the different color of the smoke. It's really interesting when, you know, you get guys that have spent years in the fire service. The smoke means something different to everybody. So what Dean's trying to say is, yeah, we can identify what's happening inside before we even get there. We kind of have an idea before we make our initial attack.
Well, it's obvious that you guys have done more than just training. I'm looking here at this massive wall of trophies. What can you tell us about all this?
They're all Dean's.
I really wish.
No, again, the trophies symbolize, really, to be honest, what a team does, what you can do together as a team. The Colorado State Firefighters Association typically hosts once a year field days. And what happens is different departments from around the state, we all come together and we compete. And depends on where you end up, on whether or not you get a trophy. And as you can tell, we've been very successful here at Monte Vista.
Well, tell us about your team.
You know, we run about 21 members strong. Some other departments might have more, some have less. We found that seems to be our sweet spot for our team. We have really great leadership in our chief, Pat Sullivan, our assistant chief, Sheldon Lauder, our captain, Glenn Slingerling, and our lieutenant, Lucas Riggenbaugh. We just have a great team, a great organization, a group of men that come together. Once again, it's for a common cause. It's for the betterment of our community. And when you realize that what you're here for, what you're fighting for, that you're protecting the guy to the left of you and the guy to the right of you, that's more important. I mean, we all watch out for each other. We are a big family. We razz each other a lot. Some of us get picked on a little bit more than others, Trent. But, you know, we love you no matter what. We're all family and we watch out for each other. And that's an amazing part of being able to be part of this fire department. I mean, it's a proud tradition to become a member. I mean, it's just such an amazing feeling when you're able to, one, first and foremost, give back to your community, and secondly, be able to work with such a great group of guys. And that doesn't only include us, that expands as well. Then you go out to the other departments. I mean, Deedon mentioned down north, they are a great group of guys. Their knowledge, their experience, their skills, guess what? They're willing to share that knowledge, experience, and skills with us and pass that training along. And be it down north, be it Alamosa, be it Antonito, be it Center, we are all one big team.
That is awesome. So, name it. How did you get here? How did you end up here in Monte Vista with the fire department?
This is interesting. My brother-in-law was actually on the fire department a number of years ago, and he noticed that I had an interest in it. And he asked me to attend a meeting to see if I would be a fit. So, and that's kind of how it works out. You throw your name into the hat. They determine whether or not you're going to be a good fit for the team. You go through an interview process. You get in front of a board, and you have to present yourself and why you think you would be a good member to this team. What skills, experience do you bring to the table that can be used for the betterment of the whole district for our department? And that's kind of how I got here. My brother-in-law was involved. I had a couple friends involved with it. I saw how fun it was, and I thought, you know what? I want to do that. If I would have known this years ago, I would have joined. I mean, I've been on the team now for 14 years. I would have joined before that. I would even consider making this my full-time job if I would have known what I know now. Because I think everyone on our team is very passionate about what we do, and we would love to do this. I mean, even though we do it for a living and volunteering, we would gladly go to a paid department.
So Dean, what about you? What's your story?
So, unfortunately, I haven't been on as long as Damon. 14 years, that's amazing. I've only been on for 3 years. I just one day woke up one day and decided I really want to help out this community. What's the best way I could help them out? I called up a buddy, got me an application, did an interview, and next minute I'm on the department. Of course, after some training, make sure I was the right fit, make sure this is what I really want to do, I realized that this is what I want to do.
And it's not always a fit for everybody. I mean, you might walk in the doors and go, this is what I want to do. This is it. And then the minute you put on an SCBA and you're in those closed confinements, you go, yeah, this isn't for me. It's not what I like. Well, keep in mind that there always could be a different position for you. I mean, you might end up just being an engineer. If you're not comfortable in something, but maybe you're still a fit for the team, it might work out somehow, some way down the road. But there's some guys that come in, they go, it's just not for me. I don't want to do this. But I will guarantee you this much. I don't think there's a member that's part of this team that is not an adrenaline junkie. We are looking for the rush. We're looking for the high. The minute that page goes off, our hearts are rushing. We're excited. We don't know really what we're going into. We treat every call like it could be its worst case scenario, and it could be just a false alarm. But guess what? We're coming out, guns a-blazing. We're ready to take on the battle that we're about to face.
I absolutely love the passion that I hear in your voices. Fortunately, I'm here and I can see your faces, and I know exactly that what you just said is the truth.
Oh, without a doubt. There is a lot of passion here, and you have to have that passion to be committed, especially when it's volunteer. We're not here to set schedule. We don't break it up as far as teams and go, okay, hey, you got the next 48 hours, team A, team B, you got the next 48. It's not the way it works, man. We're sitting at home, the page goes off, we're having dinner. Guess what? We have to leave our families. We have to come. And it's not a matter of if you want to come, it's I have to. I have a duty to perform. People are expecting us to put on our boots and get the job done. And if we don't do it, who's going to? And that's something that's very exciting about this team and this organization and the fire service itself. It's a love. Once you fall in love with it, man, it's in your blood. You have fire in your veins.
Well, on behalf of myself and SL Voices, and I'm sure a lot of other people, I want to thank you for what you do. And I want to thank your spouses and your family for the sacrifices that they make when you do have to get up in the middle of dinner, no matter what's going on. They are behind you 100%. And I'm sure that you couldn't do what you do without that support.
Oh, without a doubt, absolutely. And it's challenging for our families. I mean, you could sit down for movie night. You could be going to the theater. You could be going out to dinner. Dinner's been ordered, and the page goes off, and you go, got to go. You know, they're counting on us. People are counting on us to do what we do. I think I'm fortunate that I have this opportunity to be able to serve my community this way. But I need to give a big thank you out to our board that serves us, because without their support, we wouldn't have some of the equipment that we have. They back us up 110%, and it's just an amazing feeling that if there's something that we need, we present it to the board, and they help support us in any way, shape, or form that they possibly can. They understand that without the right tools, without the right equipment, without the right rigs, we cannot serve and protect our community. So again, a big thank you out to our board for them helping to support us and in our cause.
Well, let's touch base one last time on one of the big reasons we're here. We're going to talk about, of course, the 28th annual Chili Supper coming up.
Saturday, November 17th, 4 to 7:30 p.m., we will be hosting our 28th annual Chili Supper. Come out, meet your local firefighters, have some delicious food that we prep ourselves, and just enjoy a really good time. But remember to save your raffle tickets, because we do give out little prizes, you know, fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, just to thank you for coming out, and we really enjoy seeing you.
We're so excited about the Chili Supper. It's something that we start gearing up for, you know, 3 or 4 months out, you know, trying to prep and plan for this and make it a fun event for everybody. And once again, it is a community event, so we look forward to seeing your smiling faces. Come on out, join us for a fabulous evening of fun and excitement and help support your local fire department.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really enjoyed our time with Dean and Damon and appreciate their taking time out of their busy schedules to sit down and talk with us. In fact, as soon as we were done, they were off for more training and other things on their busy schedule that morning. These gentlemen certainly aren't the types to be idle at all.
Locally, these folks have been super busy this year. Not only did they aid assistance for the Springs Fire, the 416 Fire, and the Weston Pass Fire, but they responded to over 229 calls for situations involving structure fires, car accidents, wildland fires, and other emergency circumstances. On top of this, these people participated in over 1,500 hours of training, so when that call does come in, they are ready. You know, as our interview went on, something that really impressed us both was their commitment and passion for what they do. Their goal for this upcoming year is to be able to raise the funds to purchase battery-powered extraction tools for emergency situations involving vehicle accidents. Of course, if you can't make it this year, please consider a donation to their cause. You can always drop off a donation or mail it to the Monte Vista Fire Department, P.O. Box 187 in Monte Vista, 81144. That's P.O. Box 187 here in Monte Vista, zip code of 81144.
Don't miss this delicious and fun-filled opportunity to share a secret recipe chili supper with our local volunteer fire department. Meet the people behind the scenes, hear their stories, see the equipment they have available to help you should you ever have need of their help. The Monte Vista Fire Department's 28th Annual Chili Supper is on Saturday, November 17th, from 4 until 7:30 p.m. at the fire station located at 401 Broadway. We'll see you there.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word too by liking us on Facebook and joining our page. Also check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your family, friends, and neighbors. We all love this area, want to see it flourish, and you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of slvoices.com, the voice of the San Luis Valley.